Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Moves up and takes the lead, but Mr. Brightside's challenging. Mr. Brightside up to Alligator Blood. Cascadian late. Mr. Brightside in front. And Mr. Brightside has won the mile from Cascadian. The Inevitable has a really good buffer. 200 to go. She's 5 lengths in front. Mr. Brightside's chipping away. Pride of Jenny trying to find the reserves at the 100. She's 3 in front of Mr. Brightside. It's all too late. Pride of Jenny has run them into the night. Zaki joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face at the 150. Animo takes the lead from Zaki. Alligator Blood, I'm Thunderstruck. But it's Animo clear. I'm Thunderstruck late. Dream at the 100 is getting desperate. Now Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Oh, she's too good. They can't beat her. In time I so untold. I'm just another soul for sale. Oh, well.
The beach is out of prayers. We are not permanent. G'day, listeners, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast, where we are previewing Australian Cup Day there at Flemington. We've also got the Tankard Stakes and the Vinery Stud Stakes on what will be a very wet Rosehill Gardens, likely. I think the current forecast is for 15 to 60 millimetres of rain on race day. So that is going to be an absolute slogfest if it does eventuate. But if you're new here for the first time, my name is Ben Caluzzi. I'm your host and I'm joined by Nicholas McGualter and Will the Bot Alford. Fellas, how are we?
Well, we both support Essendon and we're not going too well. So it's just
what's the score? Isn't it tight?
I don't know. Yeah, we're not getting bet that much, but it's the worst game you've ever seen.
We're down by 7 points.
They're an embarrassment.
Yeah, it's not too bad, but this, if you go and watch it, it's just
not Snelly is bad as Nico, TB. They're at Pakenham.
Yeah, I was just going to bring it up. Your head is in your hands right now because TB has just called the last favourite over the line. It's been beaten the final stride. Explain.
No, I've got no words. I'm speechless. I don't know why I'm surprised.
Oh, well, anyway. Shit happens, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If you tuned into the podcast last week, I thought it was dead set a dog's dinner, and we got a bit of feedback that it was a dog's dinner, and I think we've all got to take a little bit of responsibility for it. I was watching, for starters, it was about 9:45 by the time we started. I was watching Carlton versus Hawthorn. Nico was getting some license done and his car was making more noise than him. And Will, his microphone was just absolutely shit ass, but he's informed us that he's got his main microphone back and working. So don't worry. We have given ourselves a bit of a rev up and we promise tonight it'll be a bit better.
We did tip winners, but
rev up.
Well, yeah, we did. I did.
Did we?
Well, we had a few.
Official Saturday set was 3 from 4.
Yeah,
I don't know how much was great at the 300 meters. I don't know how Outback missed it to make it 4 from 4, but anyway,
yeah, that she was turned sick. It up. Autumn Glow and Via Sustana both did their thing.
Fantastic,
two really nice horses.
Most of my winners were at Benalla.
Yeah, and I don't know if you even tipped them on the podcast because you probably hadn't done the form for it yet. So
and punters didn't want to wait until 10 a.m. Saturday morning for prices. So
the prices weren't out yet, so there's nothing I could do. Sorry,
pardon. Speaking of gripes about prices, 4 o'clock today was when the prices for tomorrow at Warrnambool came out. It's just not good enough.
Welcome to my life.
It's ridiculous.
That's how it is. That's just what it's a secondary meeting on a Saturday.
It's the most important meeting. Real racing's back tomorrow, and
mate, if you think that's bad,
If you think that's bad, Shah's Inn is the best race course in the world, and prices on a Sunday don't come out until 10 a.m. on race day.
Fair dink. Baffling stuff.
All right. Shall we swing into things? We are racing at Flemington. That's where we start. That's where we always start. Updated forecast is 0 to 3 millimetres of rain, potentially on Saturday. It's going to be a mild day, top of 22 degrees. The rail is in the true position. So when was the last time we raced at Flemington? Was it 2 weeks ago?
Newmarket Day.
Newmarket Day. So 2 weeks ago. Yeah, 2 weeks ago. Yeah. And yeah, I wouldn't expect it. I think it raced pretty good that day and hopefully much of the same.
Yeah. The only thing is there's a 20 to 30 kilometre southerly at Flemington, so that affects them going. It blows towards the grandstand, so you want to be wider in the straight, and it's a little bit of a tailwind coming around that final turn in the shoot races.
That might be interesting. Pride of Jenny and Deny Knowledge might skip away. It's going to be an exciting race, but we'll get to that very soon. All right, we're starting in race four. It's the Vobis Gold Reef, 1,600-metre, three-year-old event. Athanatos is $3.50 and Dollar $3.90. Storm Season, $4.60. Bossy Bonita, $5.50. And you're out to double figures, Cavity Bay, $10 along the rest. Will, you're sticking with Andola. This is a horse you had something on in the Australian Guineas last start.
Yeah, I think he was okay there. He travelled well. He shaped into the race really, really well. And you look at the splits there, and he did the best work out of any horse between the 8 to the 4. He sort of blew up, and he's run the last 200 meters. If they go at a decent gallop here, I'm hoping with Bossy Manita, who likes to go at a decent clip, same as Hurricane Georgie. I think he, might get a nice pace to run it. He's had a nice little tick over trial between runs of 28 days, and I think he should be favoured. I'm scared of this Storm Season, who ran big splits at Pakenham, but I think Ndola definitely has a wood over Athanatos, who was well backed at Caulfield last start. But I just think that I think Ndola is clearly favoured over Athanatos, and the betting has it the other way around, so I have it in Dola, Storm Season, and then Athanatos, and then a little gap to the rest, and Hurricane. Boston Bonita's thereabouts, and Hurricane Georgia, I think, can probably run a race as well. But Ndola is clearly a bet for me in race four at Flemington.
Yeah, he looks a class horse, doesn't he? And if he does rock up with his best form, then that $3.90, $4 even looks a good bet.
$4.20 is the best price now. I think that's that's just got to start shorter, I think, because if they put him in the race or anywhere near it with a decent pace on, I think he's looking for a mile now, and he's clearly the best horse. So at least up to this, but I think Storm Season is a nice horse, but slowly run Pakenham race, he'd need to improve to be that price versus that $1.
Yep. All right, we move on to race five. It's the Curra Handicap, and it's very fitting that it's the Curra Handicap because we've got an international horse that Bot is backing here. And Zudo is $3.30 favourite from Halsing, $3.70. Holy Man's $8.50. Munamek, the modern-day mouse wheel, is $10, as well as Aramco. Halsing, fun fact, these are Cox Plate winning colours, the Team Valley colours, with State of Rest back in 21. Numerian also carries the colours, and that's who you want to back.
Yeah, it's the Curra Handicap, or whatever you called it, and he ran second in Europe's richest two-year-old race behind Galeron at the Curra and the Goff's Million. So as a two-year-old, and he had a long time off, and he's come back. This preparation was sneaky, long way back at Randwick or Rose Hill first up, and then came to Flemington and was wide and sort of did a little bit too much through the mid stages, and then was really, really strong home in the race behind Exudo. And while the SP's there, I think it's a dodgy form. It's a dodgy SP to take literally, I think. And he's obviously very good. That's why he was runner up in a very good 2-year-old race over there in Ireland. And I think he can keep improving. There's absolutely no speed in this race. You look at the pace chart, Aramco is the only horse with any speed whatsoever. And the rest are just sort of back markers. I think this horse might be able to settle outside lead. And Exudo doesn't have – Exudo is not the quickest away. So I'm thinking that Helsing might have a little bit of a map advantage on it. And if it does, and it can skip away around that that turn with the southerly, I'm thinking that Helsing probably should be favourite. And I'm pretty keen on it. So Helsing, number 11 in race number 5, the Curragh Handicap.
So you heard it here first, Nico and punters. Will Bot Alford is backing an Omen horse, the Curragh Handicap, and this horse was a big two-year-old winner at the Curragh a few years ago.
No, well, it sounds pretty, but it's also
No, no, don't ruin the narrative. That's brilliant.
Nice colours too.
Let's move on to race 7. It's the Bob Hoisted 1,000-meter listed race, Pisanello. I think this was one of the more popular winners on Cup Week when J-Mac... Oh,
it was the most popular winner on Cup Week.
Yeah.
Should have heard the roar.
The roar was insane. I think it was J-Mac to break the record and get 11 winners on the final race of the carnival.
Final race.
And didn't they come for him late in betting? His $3.10 favourite here from Midwest $5.50, Spacewalk $7, Oscar's Fortune $7.50, Oak Hill $9 off the monstrous Mooney Valley win. Oscar's Fortune Bot, he's got to carry the 59.5 here, but Gav has had a little bit longer with him now after a spell. He has trialed up very nicely as well. I'm not sure if you're across that, but that's who you want to be on.
He's at his best. He's clearly the best horse in this race. He's weighted like that, but he came to Gav 2 runs into the preparation in Melbourne, and Gav said that he wasn't quite right, and Gav thinks he's got him right now, and the trials would suggest that. I had a look at the most recent one, and he went very well, I thought. The Tearaway is a speedy horse. He's a 1,000-meter. I don't know if he's a 1,000-meter horse, but I don't think it is unsuitable for him. But, you know, this horse was, you know, he's got form through Amelia's Jewel, beating her in the Roma handy, or Roma something, and then was second or third behind the Bjorn Baker overpass in the Quokka or whatever, one of those races, Winterbottom maybe. At his best, he's the best horse of this race. They're at 10s earlier. I think 750 is still a little bit big. This Pisanello is a really nice horse. The market had it going to a better level than it had ever gone to by quite some level first up in it. Must have trialed really, really well or something, I'm not sure. But it ran up to that market expectation, and probably, you know, if it was paced a little bit more efficiently, it might have won. I can't get it quite so short, but and I don't think 1,000 metres is suitable for it either. So it's a little bit short. So Midwest is another one. I think that horse was really, really, really well paced at Flemington last start, and you know, the bare form looks good, but when you look at the pace of the race in the sectionals, I thought it had a really easy time of it, and it won't get that here. So I thought Oscar's Fortune, just, you know, I took $10, so $7.50 still backable. So that's it's a decent bet with Mark Zara on board.
Brilliant. All right. I think we're all going to start to chime in a little bit more now because we get to race 7. This race was previously called the Sunlight Classic. They've changed the name to the Hong Kong Jockey Club World Pool Sprint Classic. I hate the name change, but I understand why
Flemington... Hate the World Pool, hate the name.
Well, the thing with the World Pool is most people hate it, right? Because you're getting shitter odds on a lot of the popular runners because everyone's got to share a slice of the dividend. But the World Pool, what the World Pool is great for, and I can say this firsthand, is race clubs, because they get larger chunks of the wagering dollar, and that's why everyone wants to have it. So, yep, there's heaps of people knocking the World Pool, and it's probably not fantastic for punters unless you're backing, you know, extreme long shots. But, yeah, the people who do benefit from the World Pool are race clubs because they get a bigger slice of the wagering dollar.
It's no good.
There you go. Nico's chimed in. Punting hat on.
Well, firsthand, I copped it when the video went up that day we were at the races. Mr. Brightside paid $1.40 on the tote because of the Whirlpool. You still could have got like $1.60 fix, but he paid $1.40 on the tote.
Nico gets skinned online because he's tipping $1.40
favorites. $1.40 shots.
Yeah, you're a bit stiff.
Not there. The fact that they're $1.40 because I've tipped them, but whatever.
Oh, spell. Anyway, let's get to the market because this is a $500,000 three-year-old listed race. It's over 1,100 meters. Alabama Lass, the New Zealand filly. She's very fast. She's $2.60 favorite from Vestas, $7.50. First settler draws Barry 1, and he's got the front pads on first time. That's interesting gear change, $9.50. Gatsby's is also $9.50. Dagger's $10. And Amelita, who did beat Vestas down the straight in the spring, is $14. Firstly, I want to bring up something here, Bot, because you sent in a nice little article, which was penned by Stephen Hunt in New Zealand, who does some New Zealand ratings. So I just want to quickly read it out before we get to Alabama Lass. So this was on Alabama Lass. Stephen does weight for age ratings, which were probably on a similar sort of scale to Form King.
I wouldn't say that they are.
Maybe not exactly, but like, I don't know. At the end of the day, they're weight for age rating. So I'm just going to read it out. Have I got the wrong fucking race here? Here we go. Alabama Lass. Alabama Lass exploded to a new peak rating of 103 with an emphatic win in the Group 3 Kings Plate over 1,200. This was a significant leap from her previous best of 99.2, dominating the race by nearly 6 lengths. The fact that she was able to put such a big margin on Crescetti with the supporting figures on the clock, it was impossible to rate her any lower. This marks the top sprinting performance by any horse of any age in New Zealand this season, surpassing Grail Seekers 102 when winning the Telegraph. Alabama Lass bettered her previous 99.2 peak by a remarkable 1.9 lengths, a rare feat for a horse already rated at the higher end. A study of horses with a past peaks of 99 plus shows that few horses improve by 4 or more points to hit a 103 plus rating. Alabama Lass's leap of 4 points to reach 103 puts her in the company of familiar names that fit in such a group, such as Imperatriz, Catalyst, Tiakio Shark, Dance Dance Dance, Too Illicit, and Babylon Berlin. While it would be ambitious to expect Alabama Lass to replicate this new peak consistently, there's every reason to believe she can now establish a higher base level, surpassing her previous best of 99.2. So, for those who don't know Alabama Lass, that puts into a little bit of context that she is likely the best sprinter in New Zealand right now, and she's very well in at set weights. Actually, it's not set weights, but the weight scale isn't really – it's still very, very favourable. Bot, do you want to go first and why you like her?
Oh, I don't think any of these are any good, and she's, you know, I did some digging, found some ratings, and she's timed for 114 too. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think these are much good at all, and I think she'll lead. 320 was around early, and I thought that she was probably about a 220 chance, and I backed her. So, 270 is almost back now as well, I thought. She'll probably keep getting out almost. I'd say I'll probably have to back her again.
But, big field.
Yeah, this, you know, Vestas had a good SP behind Private Harry and the Lady Camelot.
And Arabian, you know, that wasn't Arabian Summer.
Yeah, that one too. First Settlers, you know, this time of the day, drawn one's a little bit iffy. It's got pads on for the first time, and I don't have a massive opinion of that form. And Daggers as well finished nicely in the sales race. What was it called? It was English Sprint, but that race went awful.
And back and trip for him is ill, I reckon.
Mm, yeah, exactly. I just think that she's better than them, and at bigger than 2-1, that was a bet, and probably still a bet now at 270. So,
yep. Nico?
Yeah, she's a serious animal, this horse. I saw her when I was.
I saw her
in person.
Saw her in the flesh.
She is one of the better looking animals that I've ever seen. That's no word of a lie. Like, I'd be surprised if a lot of people weren't amazed what they see. on Saturday when she goes into the yard. And I think she'll be expressed late in betting. She was in New Zealand last start on the Whirlpool. Yeah, she's a really good animal. She'll beeline to the middle, I hope, with Willow. And I just think she'll be far too good for this lot. She's a serious horse.
Yep. Yeah, I'll make it a line of three. Alabama Lass, definitely main bet. I did get $3.20. It didn't stick around too long, but I was able to secure that price. She's drawn barrier four, which, you know, some might view that as a slight knock, but as Nico said, she's so fast out of the barriers. So she's just going to hopefully plot her own path to victory. 1,100 metres is just about perfect for her. And, you know, if she doesn't get lost down the straight first time, then she's going to give a strong kick and look the winner for a long way. She's she's as good a sprinter as we've had come over from New Zealand since Imperatriz. So I wouldn't not putting her in the same bracket as her just yet, but she is very, very good. And the only time she's really, you know, been beaten in the last few starts is when she got a really soft track and Crescetti was just able to get over the top of her. But back on dry ground, she turned that margin around nearly six lengths. So, yeah, clearly on top. But I've also had a smaller bet on Vestas at $9.50. She's been jumping out very well. And if the grandstand rail is a significant bias, she has drawn 17 of 17. So it might not actually be the best draw for her because she's drawn so far away from the potential speed and she might have to plot her own course and sort of be exposed from a long way out. But yeah, I think she's a pretty decent horse. And I mentioned that Amelita did beat her in the spring. Well, she was an absolute moral beaten that day down the straight. So yep, it was only a James McDonald special that beat her that day. And she's clearly the danger. All right, let's move on to the Group 1, the Australian Cup 2,000 metres, Wait for Age. Pride of Jenny, $2.90 favourite from Middle Earth. Been well supported today, $4.40. As has both a Tissue and Zardozi. They're both $7. Light Infantryman, $10. And Deny Knowledge, $12. Quickly, the speed. There's going to be plenty of it from two horses, namely. They are Pride of Jenny and Deny Knowledge. Who do we think leads in the first 400 metres? Because we know Pride of Jenny doesn't always exactly spring the lids. She builds into her work. Do we think Deny Knowledge could potentially cross her and take up the running for a little while?
I don't know. I don't think that I think they're drawn too closely for that. I think Jenny will be, you know, she won't be rushed early, but I think that she, you know, I think she'll hold the lead. And if she doesn't, then I don't think that's the end of the world by any means. I think it's a really interesting for paces. For the other main chances in the race, the Tissue, Middle Earth, and Zardozi are all back markers and likely to be sort of last sort of four in run. There's going to be a long way between Pride of Jenny and Middle Earth and Zardozi, who will likely be at the back. I don't know. I think they're going to be a long way off the leader. There's going to be a southerly around that turn, and even if Knowledge wants to race her and go mental, I think Froggy's smart enough to take a sit. I think it's really interesting because the horses that might have the sit on them aren't good enough to go past them, and it's left for the, you know, Middle Earth, Zardozi, and the Tissue to make their own sort of run without a tag into the race. I don't know, that's sort of my thinking. And I think 320 for Pride of Jenny is fair. I think you probably might even get a little bit better. And I'm really, really keen. Not really, really keen, but I'm keen to back Pride of Jenny. I think she's, you know, she showed that she was back. It was funny last start. The market hated her, and I talked to a couple of people on track when she was there at Caulfield, and they said that she looked as well as she ever has first up, and the market kept spinning her out. So I was like, hands are tied, she's $4 and she's got to beat Zardozi and she looks completely fine. So she's either gone or she's, you know, she's back in business, and obviously she's fine. She doesn't have any sort of what happened to her hasn't affected the way she races at all. She can still go through the wall, and I think that, you know, she runs her number. I don't think they can beat her. I think there's a horse in this race that can beat her. Middle Earth was really good in the Australian Cup Prelude. That race didn't go very well. He sprinted, and that's not necessarily his go. He's probably a mile and a half strong horse rather than a slowly run 10 furlong horse. But he'll get a test here. But I just sort of think he'll be a long, long way off them. And to go from a slowly run race to a you know, into the furnace, I don't think that's probably going to suit him much. But that being said, he started favourite in a Hardwick, which is an extremely strong race at Royal Ascot, and was respected in the market in the King George. So the market's got a good opinion of him. He's sort of high teens with time form, so that's still a long way off what is necessary to be beating Pratigenny. So, you know, it's one of those scenarios where if they're going to beat her, she has to be off, and, you know, that can happen. It's happened in the past, but I think that Pratigenny is... bet at $3.20 and up. $2.80 is the price I have.
Drinks on Flemington and drinks on Wilbur if Pratigenny is able to win. Are you going to the races?
Yeah, I'm working.
Oh, beautiful. I'm not sure if I'll get there yet, but my hands are a little bit tired with bets I've already had in this race. So I think Pratigenny can win, but I'm against her. And I'm also against Middle Earth. So I'm specking lots of different horses in this race. As I said, Pratigenny can win, but I don't think Deny Knowledge being in the race is necessarily a good thing for her. And I just think they won't let her get away with the exact same scenario as last start. You'll have horses like Feroce, Attrition. Obviously, Deny Knowledge goes up and eyeballs her or sits second. And I just don't think the field will be as far away. So I don't think it will be a matter of horses being too far back. That's what I'm hoping anyway. I think if Pratigenny is to beat them, she will beat them with superior stamina. And even if they're close enough, they might not be good enough. The horses I've backed, a tissue. I've taken $8 for a tissue. I've taken $9.50 for Zardozi. Those are my main two at the moment. A tissue, I think she is going a little bit better than what her current form sort of suggests. This was always the plan, third up Australian Cup. Slowly run All-Star Mile last start, but she actually still ran the second fastest final 400 metres of the race behind Tom Kitten. So I think it's a little bit deceiving that she's ran sort of seventh and fifth so far. Zardozi, yet again, this has just been the perfect preparation peaking for this fourth up. She has a $2.10 SP over Pratigenny last start, and you're able to get sort of $8 at the moment. So she's the other bet.
NSP is not real, though.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not. But, yeah, I just think scenario-wise, she might be able to turn the tables. Light Infantryman was also very good in the All-Star Mile. I've got $18 for him, and some of his better ratings have been in fast-run races overseas. I've had something small on Attrition at 26s. He is a high-pressure beast, and he might still be one run away, but they won't be. Every time he's been in a grand final, it's been third or fourth up, and they've gone forward from the barrier. So he won't be found wanting. He'll be probably in the 1-1. I know the field will be strung out, but he'll be near enough if good enough. And I'll have something very tiny on Young Werther at a monster price. He's probably not good enough, but he was a forgive run last start. He was just off the track the whole way. So that's why I'm playing the race. Pratigenny might be way too good, but I just think with Deny Knowledge in the race, it'll set up for some other horses to run on if they're good enough. Nico?
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm happy to take on Pratigenny, and I'm happy to take on Middle Earth for what it's worth. I think staying at 2,000 metres, second up off a good run, I wouldn't be surprised if he's looking for further and he regresses a little bit. I want to back a tissue. I think she's a really good horse, 2,000 metres, Flemington suits her well. Blake Sheen just blend into the race at the right time. Hopefully she's not too far back, and I'll be with Zardozi as well. She will be better suited back to Flemington where she's got a longer straight to chase. And I think I want to be with those back in the field, blending in late, the two mares over the top, one of them hopefully.
Beautiful. All right. So varying opinions there, but it's going to be a fascinating race. And both the Australian Cup and the Tancred, gee, they are dead set popcorn races and can't wait for them. Race 9 is the Roy Higgins. It's over 2,600 metres. It's a listed event. And it's also the golden ticket into the Melbourne Cup. Deacon, he's a $2.40 favourite after breaking the 2,500 metre track record at Moonee Valley last start. He won by 5.5. Berkshire Breeze is $6.50. Silent Sorrente, $8. Mostly Cloudy, $8.50. And Smoke and Romans, the old boy, is there at $9.50. Nico, I'll let you go first.
Yeah, I think Deacon's a clear standout in this race. Obviously, he would have gone to the Adelaide Cup if he wasn't slaughtered at the weights, and hence why they didn't go there. I'm happy that he's pivoted and gone to this race. I think it sets up perfect for him. He's the one with the most upside in the race, and I just think he'll win. He's a really nice stayer on the rise, and yeah, looks a perfect race for him.
Beautiful. Bot, you're not so sure about Deacon. You think he's a little bit short in the market.
Yeah, I get the appeal. Like, everything looks, you know, he looks like a nice horse, but, you know, I don't have a number. I don't have a big number for him yet that is a makes him a deserving $2.40 favourite. I think Berkshire Breeze is a better horse than him. I don't think that's unfair at all to say.
What are they doing from the barrier? We need to know.
I don't know. Well, that's the problem. If there's a change of tactics, I'll be on Berkshire Breeze. That's for sure. If they go and sit outside lead or 1-1 or whatever on Berkshire Breeze, I think he'll beat Deacon.
He'll be back.
There's a Melbourne Cup ticket on the line. If there was ever a race where you got to roll the dice,
but Kieran it's said, here. Yeah, Kieran I mean, said last preparation that he was better ridden cold out the back than up on speed.
That's just blatantly wrong, but, you know, that is just completely just
he doesn't
wrong.
Need a lead.
They're the biggest stable in the country. If they can't figure out that he's better on speed than with taking a sit in the back of the field, like, if there's a change of tactics, I'll be on. If not, then I'll probably leave the race and won't have a bet. I'm going to have a bet in the race where we have something tiny on Inevitable Award who can sprint really well. I was mostly Cloudy is probably... you know, I don't think Mostly Cloud is a dissimilar horse from Deacon. I don't know. Deacon's on an upward trajectory. He won really well at the Valley. I just can't get him so short, so I probably won't have a bet, but I don't want to lay him. I don't really have an opinion. I probably won't bet, but if I get a change of tactics, I'll be on Berkshire Breeze because I think he's a better horse than Deacon.
Yep. I've had two sort of savers. They are Berkshire Breeze at $7 and Mostly Cloudy at $9. As we said, if Berkshire Breeze, I bet pre-barriers, but yeah, if he had a drawn a gate, you'd probably mark him a little bit shorter than $6.50. This is a horse who did start $1.30. Did start $1.30 and led one day here at Flemington and got run down. Mostly Cloudy, he's been a very frustrating horse because he's been a long time between drinks, but he keeps running well. He's out to a trip now that suits. But if I get $2.60 plus Deacon, he'll be my main result in the race. I just think he's going to go forward here. He's going to get the right map. Yes, he's got to carry a few more kilos in last start, but yeah, I thought he potentially should have rated a little bit higher last start. I know he did have all favours, but yeah, this is a horse who is still on the up and some of the others are just sort of Johnny on the spot. So Deacon goes on top for me. But I've also got Berkshire Breeze and Mostly Cloudy on the side. They won't be the losers for me, put it that way. All right. Any other Flemington comments?
Not really.
Happy to move on, Nico.
Aren't you betting in the first race, Ben, or no?
I'm a little bit grey. Bossy Nick is a horse who's flying, and it's a potential bet for me. I would have loved 1,200, but back to 1,100 metres, drawn the outside. I think she is a deserved favourite. I'm just a bit scared of a little deep because a little deep is the best horse in the race. She just got to carry the 60. So I'm not sure if I'm going to make
it. I'd be more scared of Pondalowie. Yeah.
She keeps missing
the start. If I'm going to have a bet in the race. Yeah, but it's,
not as much.
I think it's just that there's no initiative. I think just down the straight to be closer. They've put a, you know,
Would you agree a little deep's the best horse in the race?
Based on the Mooney Valley run, the Chautauqua, yes, but it hasn't really done anything outside of that. My lights just went off.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to Sydney, Rosehill Gardens. They did a track report today and they said it was getting towards the better side of a soft five. So it's going to be in a good position to handle a little bit of rain once it comes. But
what did they cop today?
Oh, no, I don't think it's been raining. I think it starts tomorrow. Right. So I think it's actually been drying conditions. So, like, fingers crossed it gets back to a good four and then it might be able to, you know, actually take a bit. I doubt they would have done any irrigation. The rail goes out to the 6 meter position. The track is fascinating. 2 weeks ago, it was completely fence off. You couldn't win within the sort of first 10 lanes on the track. And then last start, everything that won was rails in run or lane two. I think it might revert to a little bit off the fence again now that the rail goes out and they might start to chop it up a little bit, but who am I to know? It's going to be a guessing game.
Bot's lost power.
You're joking.
No.
I saw his lights just went out.
Yeah, he just said my power just went out.
Tell him to log back in on the phone or something.
That's what I just said to do.
Anyway, he's not into Rosehill Bet, so he can come back at the end.
He's probably actually timed this to perfection. His power probably hasn't gone out. He just goes, I'm done with you blokes. I've tipped my camels, I'm done.
He's probably at the missus' house and she's getting this a little bit antsy.
This is all different sorts of excuses now.
I saw him standing in the dark. I'm like, what's going on?
He's gone from different kitchens to
no mic to mic.
Yeah. It's dungeons, bunkers. Now he's lost power.
Yeah.
This is all time.
I think there's like you can sort of create a bit of a graph. As Bot's responsibilities at racing.com have gone up, his input and give a fuck on the podcast has
increasingly gone down. We should make a bot worm. We'll speak to Dave and we'll get a bot worm.
he's regressing.
I don't want to back him. I'll be laying him till the hilts.
It's brilliant because we can say whatever we want about him and he won't listen back to it. No. So,
well, it's only fair. I'm sure that's the same when I'm not here.
All right. Yeah, it is. Don't worry. All right. Race four is the Neville Salwood. It's 2,000 meters, group two, and it's 4-year-old plus. PVL says, you 3-year-olds aren't allowed to run in this race. We want you to run in the 3-year-old only races, and this is for the older horses only. One of them is the favorite, the top weight. It's Chaya Wolf. He's got to carry the 59.5. He's the $1.65 favorite from Palmetto, $11. Just Fine, $12. Post Impressionist, $12. Our Gold Hope, $15. And a Good Wet Tracker is He's a Shocker. He's $19. What do you reckon, Nico? This has got to be put in, take out. If Chaya Wolf is to be the Australian trained danger to Via Sestina in the Queen Elizabeth, which is what he has been, you know, for months, he's got to win this.
Yeah, I completely agree. Out to 2,000 metres is perfect. I think a wider gate is perfect. Obviously, we don't know how much rain they're going to get, how the track's going to play, etc., etc. But there'll be no excuses for him on Saturday. There was a bit of a narrative being pushed that he was the unlucky one on Saturday because he drew barrier two. Well, Fangirl's been the run of the day, covered the most ground of any horse, did what no other horse did all day, and should have won. So don't give me that rubbish. I think he should win. On the backup is perfect. It's good placement by Joe. It'll be the only win of his campaign, so I'll be cheering him on Saturday.
Yeah, no, I completely concur with
that. How did they go up $1.90?
I don't know. I was $1.95 bet 365. I thought I was smart, taking a bit of $2 all in. And then, yeah, they put up a good price anyway.
When you said that he was running, I was like, oh, beautiful. It's going to be $1.30. Benny's got one up on me.
Yeah. Well, did you get an early price?
No, I didn't. I didn't take an early price because I was like, well, is he going to run? Is he not going to run?
Yeah, that's right. Like, you might be able to take a bit of a mug multi anyway. Race 4 and 6.
I've got a little idea for the punters. We can get to that later.
All right. But yeah, Chaya Wolf, I thought he was excellent last start without winning. That was in the George Ryder. He only got beaten, you know, what, a neck by Fangirl and Gringotts. 2,000 metres, I think, is his best distance. And given this is a field of 14, he's probably going to get a little bit more pressure, which is exactly what he wants. He's not a sit and sprint, turn a foot horse. He is a strength horse. And we saw in both his big mile wins in the spring, in both the Epsom, that was just an insane win. And then he ran down Pride of Jenny when Pride of Jenny was softened up in the King Charles. Both of those were fast tempo, high pressure. He's going to get a little bit more of that here because you've got horses like Bois d'Argent, Just Fine, you know, Redstone Well, who all want to be nice and positive. So, yeah, I love Barrier 10. I'm hoping that's the A ground. You know, if this gets to a bottomless track, that's probably some question mark. He did run second on an improving heavy track in the ATC Derby, but yeah, he's just going to win this. He should flog him, and I'm happy to be on. He's a shocker. He's probably the one for your multiples. He's a very good wet tracker, and will probably shorten once the rain comes.
I agree.
All right. Race 6 is the Vinery Stud Stakes. It's 2,000 metres. It's 3-year-old Group 1 for the fillies. Treasure of the Moment is a $1.60 favourite from Moving Out, who has recently moved to Chris Waller's stable, $7.50 in the Yulong colours. Speaking of Yulong, did you see the Vin Cox news?
Well, I thought we might have touched on it off the top. What's that all about?
I've got no idea.
It's going to be so fascinating to see what happens next because I think it's a fair statement to say that Godolphin have gone a little backwards since Vin left. Obviously, he's a very good operator, and that's not the only reason they've sort of gone backwards a little bit. They've sort of changed
less horses.
They've lost horses. They've changed their setup, etc. But it's going to be fascinating to see what happens next, where he goes. Because he's obviously a very smart operator.
Did you read what Gareth said? It was like disagreements with like values and stuff.
There's obviously more to play out. It's going to be interesting to see if we get the real facts and figures of what's actually happened. But
yeah
I don't know. It's a big loss to Yulong because he's obviously a very good operator and he's set up everything really good and they're going super. But
Yulong have been flying ever since he came on.
Yeah. He's going to be hard to replace.
Can you hear me? Yeah.
Yeah. What's going on,
Bob? Sorry, my power. The
lights are on.
And you've changed rooms.
Yeah. I haven't.
Yeah, whatever.
Same room, just a different camera angle. Anyway, the lights are on, but no one's home at Botters.
Much like Bob.
As the saying goes.
Much like Bob.
Yeah, well, it went out. It's back on now.
Anyway, back to the races. Declichy Boulevard, $7.50. Benagil, $10. Verona Rose, $12. And Powers of Opal, $18, who was a Treasure of the Moment sparring partner in the spring. I think one of them's gone one way and the other has gone the other way. Treasure of the Moment should be taking care of these. I think she's a 103 rater. And getting in set weights, 56 kilos, all she has to do is handle the track and she'll be winning. She's definitely on the podium as one of the best fillies in Australia, alongside Lady Shenandoah and Autumn Glow. She might be number 3 at the moment until she proves herself a little bit more. But
number 2 at the moment. Glow's number 3. Well, Glow doesn't have a Group 1 yet.
Yeah, true. Glow doesn't have the Group 1 yet, but it's
Glow might be number 1 eventually, but at the moment you cannot say that she's the best horse because she doesn't have a Group 1.
Yeah, that's true.
Weren't you saying she was the best horse on Saturday?
I said she might end up being the best horse, but right now
you sounded pretty definitive when you were saying it. But yeah, I agree.
It's not even an argument right now.
Yeah, I know. I thought you
were. Lady Shen's won 3. Yeah, she's won none.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you.
Anyway, back to the race. Treasure of the Moment. I think 2,000 metres third up is absolutely perfect. Wet track is an unknown. I was listening to Nico Noonan, who he's pretty good at profiling some of these horses because he's such a good yard judge, and he says, you know, he thinks that she might be a good wet tracker because she's small frame. Usually the smaller frame horses get through the wet. So, yeah, I'm banking on that. You know, $1.60, I think she is shorter in my market. If this was a dry track, you could definitely mark her shorter. And I think the only possible danger is the horse McDonald's on moving out, who thought was pretty good behind Lazura. It was an absolute walkathon, and she got back a long way and still rattled home well. But it's just like it's just an awful setup to tackle 2,000 meters on a heavy track, second up Waller, fitness queries potentially, and not in a grand final. So, yeah, Treasure of the Moment on top. Number two is the only danger. You go.
Yeah, I don't.
What about
Go, Bob.
Oh, sorry, you go.
No, you go.
Oh, okay. This Powers of Opal was hasn't been suited the last two times. Now we were out the back and then slowly run race. Yeah, into a slog. Like she seems a staying filly.
We've seen.
You know, she started favourite over in the Wakeful.
We've seen this trip before, though. Like she's proved that she couldn't beat her when she was close enough to her last preparation. I don't think she's improved.
Like off SPs, yeah. It's a big price, but I just think Treasure the Moment's improved and she hasn't.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, well, one's $1.60, one's $19.
Yeah, well, one's going to win and one's not, so.
Yeah. Yeah. You'd have someone stolen, I guess.
Donation. Yeah. You got anything to add?
Blinkers on first time.
Oh
yeah, that'll fix it.
The desperation blinkers.
That'll fix it. Yeah, I just hope that we get to the race, she runs, she'll win. That's that. I'm a little bit nervous about the next few hours because of all this rain that's coming. But I think if there's too much rain, we won't end up running anyway. So I'm not sort of worried about her scratching or anything like that. So I think you just have to back him in. She'll handle it. She'll win. But it's a...
How wet are we talking? Like, what's the... How much rain are we expecting?
Between, like...
Niagara Falls.
What's the latest update?
Really? Okay.
It's 15 to 60.
If they get 60,
the races are off. The races are off if they get 60.
What about real class? She was okay. In the far lap, moved too far back and ran some nice splits. She won a Group 2 race over 2,000.
But don't be serving up this shit. The punters don't want to hear.
Okay, so.
They don't want to hear anything but Treasure Waters win.
Okay.
All right, let's move on then. Race 7 is the Star Kingdom. It's 1,200 metres, Group 3. Uncommon James is on the backup after a really, really good run last week. I was going to call it the Oakley Plate, but it was the Galaxy. He only got beat a length by Private Harry. He's drawn barrier 14, Brudenell $6, Astraka $6.50, General Salute $6.50, Marzu $7.50, and Espionage $8. Well, if the heavens open up, you just got to have something on Marzu because his wet track form is absolutely sensational. He's 8 starts on a heavy track, 5 wins, 2 placings. Some of his recent heavy track form includes a third and a TJ Smith. I know it's going back a while now behind I Wish I Win and Giga Kick. And he's also, I think he just fell in with another race on a heavy track. He draws barrier 2, Nashua Willer. And I just think $8.50 is over. So once the rain comes, he's obviously going to start a lot shorter than that. I know he's half in the chair, but he still was only beaten just under 2 lengths last start. And, you know, this wet track just brings him right into play despite the fact he's got 59.5. So I'm going to have something on him.
You're sick.
Espionage is here.
Yeah.
I love Marzu.
Oh, that's such a you horse. Yeah. He should go to a long room. He'll win that.
Espionage did piss in on a wet track as well one day. So that's worth noting.
Yeah, if he gets back to his best form, isn't it? What about this General Salute? Do you have any opinion on him?
I've moved on from this race, but
okay.
I don't have any opinion on him. I've barely done any study on the race. I'm backing Marzu because I know he handles a heavy 10. That's basically it. Talking about wet trackers, there's plenty in the Tancred Stakes because it's a 2,400-meter Group 1 race and it's weight for age. And Dubai Honor, well, I think he posted nearly a 107 rating when he won us on a soft 7 in the Queen Elizabeth a few years ago. I think it was a similar rating in the Randwick. So if he brings that form, he wins this race. He's $3.20 favorite from Vauban, $4. Arapaho, $6.50. Duke de Sessa, $7. River of Stars, $13. Warmonger, $17. Nico, I'll let you go first because I reckon this is one of your better bets.
I don't know what's happening with all the punters out there, but why is this horse $3.20 to beat?
How did they bet? Hashtag.
Why is he $3.20 to beat Vauban, who was blessed to win last start because Lindemann turned it up? He was $3.60 out to $9, melted like chocolate in the sun, and somehow won. This is a horse that people were saying was some danger to Via Sistina last week. Prior to that, the last time we saw this horse over here, he absolutely destroyed our best horse. This is an absolute certainty. How are they betting the price they are? He should be $1.80. He'll just win.
It's hard horse to price.
No, it's not. He'll just win. His form, no pricing, his form is exceptional. Mile and a half is perfect. He'll just win. I've seen this script before. Just bet.
Aussie Tom, Haggis Rort.
Haggis.
Vauban does look incredibly short, doesn't it?
Haggis comes over here and does this every single time he comes. He just goes, I'm going to fly in, take your cash, fly home. Vauban should be going to Warrnambool.
That is so harsh and not.
He got lucky last start. I'm not falling into last start. No.
But he still only beat Arapaho by a head at the end of the day. So
even
it was a good win. And he's looking for further, but I agree.
Dubai Honors just got.
Why is Duke Assessor not second pick?
Oh, I agree, but. And I'll get to that in a second.
Dubai Honors just panels better than this lot. Like, he's got proper form.
Yeah. I agree. I'll go next. Dubai Honor, clearly on top, took $4. He ran in the Hong Kong Vase back in December. He was held up. Gee, these horses copped some rotten steers over the last sort of year. He was held up on the fence. He screamed home behind a horse named Giovalotto, who ties in a lot of the European form. Prior to that, on the Syntho, he was just about a moral beaten again, just held up the entire straight. He finally got his European Group 1 win over in France. He beat the likes of Feed the Flame, Point Lonsdale, Irisine, and Zaria, who he faces again here. And if the rain comes, then that's no worries at all. It's funny if you look at Form King and you just look at those two peak ratings he ran in the Randwick and the Queen Elizabeth. Like, it is just so far superior form to what any horses have been doing in Australia that are in this race. So he might not be in that same form, but he doesn't need to be winning this. So clearly on top. But Duke de Sessa, I think he's just about in career best form, the Caulfield Cup winner. And he's a horse who loves heavy tracks. I thought he should have beaten Middle Earth last start. He was held up on the fence and Middle Earth probably got out 50 to 100 metres before him. Once he got out, he surged late and only missed by a head. So he gets his wet track. He gets up to 2,400 metres and this has always been the target race for him, third up for Kieran Ma. So I think he's over. It's like a Caulfield Cup winner. I was able to get $8. I think it's a good price. But two other horses you just need to throw in either multiples or in your quaddie is Warmonger, who was a big return to form last start. His peak rating does come on a wet track up in Queensland, in that Queensland Derby. Although things are all pointed towards the Sydney Cup, I think he'll run well. And Zaria, I think Zaria is actually a better horse than River of Stars, just off their international form. I know Tommy Berry is on Zaria and J-Max on River of Stars. That's probably the reason why the market's gone one way and this has gone the other. But $23, yeah, this is a horse who does have very, very good French form. So, yeah, it'll be a little saver for me as well.
This is one of the best races I've seen in a long time. Like, this is like a Queen Elizabeth winners here, like Group 1 winner over hurdles. Arapaho won the – he's a Group 1 winner. He won the Tancred last year or something, didn't he? Duke de Sessa won the Caulfield Cup.
Yeah.
No, yeah, Land Legend started in the market at Melbourne Cup. Circle of Fire won a Sydney Cup. Womonga won a Derby.
Yeah.
Le Creek's a Group 1 winner. It's a great race. Like, it's a proper race. Like, this is genuine most of the time the Tancred is not Group 1 standard. This is like one of the races of the autumn. This is a great race.
Yeah.
And you're getting, $3.20 about a horse that's like A+ against B- horses.
Le Creek, although beaten, has run a nose to Snazzy Tavi and Al Vencedor in her last three starts, who are two of the better horses in New Zealand. She's just almost in career best form. She's got this one big fat rating that was a couple of years ago when she won, but other than that, like, she's probably not good enough to win this, but in terms of her New Zealand form, we haven't even mentioned her, and she's an interesting runner in her own right.
I was nearly hanging off the rafters at Ellerslie. I was like, there is no possible way.
Yeah, the best bet almost got beaten. Al Vencedor. All right.
She headed him.
Let's go.
She was a full head in front. I was like, there's no possible way.
Yeah. And it's worth noting that Al Vencedor goes to the Queen Elizabeth Cup in Hong Kong and Zach Purton takes the reins. So that's a great get.
That is one of the most gutless betting moves I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, fair dinkum. $7.
I tried to send it out.
Just because Zach's on.
I tried to send it out at $21 after the news broke and it was already into like $7, $9, whatever.
Gutless.
Anyway, it's not a $7 chance, I'll tell you that, in that field. Let's go around the grounds. I've got two at Ascot on Saturday. They are race 7, number 1, Yes Queen. She's $1.70. She deserves to be. She won on debut. She beat the $1.50 favorite, Tal Kanko, who was coming off a big win in its own right. They put 6 lengths on third. The rating was 93.7, which is as good as 2-year-olds go on debut in Western Australia. And she has trialed up a treat as well. So she goes in. If you want to multi her with race 8, number 1, Bravo Centurion, then do that. This horse is just a 1,000-meter speed demon, and I'm surprised he's not favorite. He's going to go straight to the front from barrier 3. And Joker's Grin, although he's a very good horse, the map is ugly. Barrier 8, there's every chance he either goes back or he's stranded wide with Carberry. And I just don't really like that setup. So, yeah, I'm happy to be on Bravo Centurion. On Sunday in Hong Kong, the world's best sprinter does return. His name is Ka Ying Rising. He faces a field of 7. He's drawn barrier 6. He'll just win again. He's up against Helios Express, Lucky Review, Magic Control, California Spangle and the like, but back to 1,200 metres, he'll only win by further. And there's the mile race. Whether Galaxy Patch can bounce back in race 5, he does need to. He's the best horse in the race, but Zach Purton goes on, but I'm undecided whether I'm going to bet. I'll just wait and see the prices. Right, Nico, give us your... you've got one in Ascot and also a couple jumpers.
Yeah, I'm happy to follow you, race 8, number 1, Bravo Centurion. I love Joker's Grin, but we were chatting about this earlier. There's no possible way that he should be able to beat Bravo from essentially last. If you haven't heard Luke Fernie talk about this horse, go and listen to Stable Mail on SEN Track today. He's a trainer that gets rather bullish with his horses, but what he said made a lot of sense. And facts and figures say that if everything goes to script, Jokers shouldn't be able to beat Bravo. Let's hope it plays out that way. yeah, both two good horses, but Bravo is just the box ticker on Saturday, I think. So hopefully that's a little late cherry on top. Now, tomorrow, the real stuff. Race one. This is a fill your boots job. Number four, Loft. One time Melbourne Cup favourite. Now going.
I love it.
Jumping. Has got his zest for racing back from what I can see. He's had three trials. They've all been exceptional. Each trial he's gotten better. And I think with racing, he'll only improve. He's got to beat Ballinor from the Neesham Archibald camp tomorrow, who is a very slow, limited stayer and has got Steve Pateman on it. That's why it's been $3 into $2.20. Loft at $2.10 is the best value of the weekend. He's about a $1.65 chance, I think. And that's aggressively short for a maiden jumper having their first start. I think he'll just win tomorrow. And where he goes after that, I'm not 100% sure if he'll try and win another race and then go to the Galleywood, or they'll try and sneak into the Galleywood straight off the maiden. But the Galleywood this year at Warrnambool could be the best race, the best edition of the race that it's ever been, if they all head there. So I think he's a very exciting prospect this season. I think he'll win tomorrow. I think the price is more than fair. Clearly the best bet of the entire weekend. We head to the second race. Prismatic is, I would say, a touch of overs at the moment. I know he's $1.75, but I think he's probably like $1.45, $1.50 chance. Treasured Crown has got the weight swing, but I think he's pretty limited. Prismatic was good last season with his form. He beat Fablot late in the season. That's a good yardstick, I think. I just think he's a good bet at the price. You can chuck him in some multis into Chaowulf. That's what I'm going to suggest, him into Chaowulf tomorrow. And then I think race three, the steeple, I think it's all fairly even. I don't really have a firm opinion. I don't know where a lot of these horses are at, what their targets are, etc. But it's just going to be a good race. I think you'll learn more from it than you will earning from it. And, good to see racing back at the Bull. It's going to be here before we know it. It's not long, Benny.
No, it's not long at all.
Are you coming, Bob?
Really looking forward to it.
I don't know. I'll be getting back from Hong Kong just like the day before. So
Bot's gone woke.
It's gone woke. Don't give me that shit.
Plus, I've got to work as well. Like
I'm joking, Nico.
Don't give me that.
I'll see. I might get like. I don't know. I could.
What, you might get the chopper down.
Yeah, I could organise that.
Think about the dumplings.
The chopper? Mate, who do you think I am? I get my private jet. Chopper.
Here we go.
The Warrnambool dumplings after a big night on the beers.
Oh, God, I've forgotten about those. Although last year I had the, sausages, like Kransky's or whatever they're called.
Yeah,
and they had like cheese in them. Oh, it was like crack.
Well, that pizza place.
To be fair, it's not going to be the worst thing if you're not there, because you're a bit of a handicap to Ben and I. So if you're not there, yeah. I'll miss you.
Liv's even coming, bottom.
Oh God, what would you say, Ben?
Liv's even coming.
Is she? Oh my God. She's going to love
so
it.
So it's going to be solo, it. Nico, because Benny's going to be home with the cheese and kisses. Nico's just going to
be... Liv made it until 4 a.m. on the weekend. I was very proud of her.
She's not going to like me after
what. She did a great job.
She's not going to... She's going to be like, Ben, you can't hang out with Nico anymore. He's no good. He's no good for you.
You worry for nothing. Will, give us your out-wide set. What's your rogue bets, well, if you got any?
Avoca, the prizes come out tomorrow, so I can't really do that.
Avoca.
Yeah. Sunday, I haven't backed it yet, but I saw that Albertville was in, and I really liked what it did. I don't know what race it is. I think it's like race 6 Sale.
Is that the McDonald's?
I'm probably wrong, though. Nico, you'll love this. Get ready for it.
System bet.
It's a Jamie Malum goes for one. It's a system bet for you, mate.
System bet. We love that.
Jamie Malum goes for one. Okay, wanting to say Jamie Carr, I've got to get out of my system.
Just say Jamie.
Disrespectful saying.
Just say Jamie. That's all I'm doing from now on. Jamie, that's it.
Jamie Malum goes for one ride, and the favourite is off about a year almost.
Which is?
I'll give you the Bonnie something. It's a Greg Urell thing. But mate.
I'm surprised it hasn't been a horse. I'm surprised it hasn't been a horse named yet.
You can't actually name it after a person. Like, you can't name. I was listening to the Peter Moody podcast, and they wanted to name a horse Gout Gout, and you can't name it exactly the same, like, first name, last name.
I'm so flat. We're not going to stall.
What, they do that all the time? Is that different in Australia? I'm going with in Europe.
I'm going with Liv.
Oh yeah, up for the day, or for the weekend?
Yeah. Probably just for the weekend, yeah. We're getting an Airbnb, so.
I think it's back on from next year onwards, but I'm flat.
Yeah.
Because the other star sprinter who's racing in the 100 metres is going as well.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's going to be elite.
But hopefully they don't handicap them both out of it, because otherwise it'll be.
There's still time to try and find an Airbnb, mate, if you keen.
Might be a day job.
All right, yeah, it might be. Even Gout Gout's even going to the races. It's going to be unreal.
I would love presenting the stall. Would love to carry his envelopes. This cash.
Yeah. I'll race him.
Oh, here we go.
I'll race him.
You can race him in the beer mile.
A couple of questions before we wrap up. Charlie Collins, do you recommend going to the Warrnambool Carnival, and will there be tips for it? Absolutely,
yes,
we do.
Yes.
The best carnival of the entire year.
Yeah,
I'll just strip it every year, but like it's just great. Like,
just follow me; you'll be
lose right. Half my bankroll, but I'll be back next year.
You'll still be in Hong Kong.
I'm never going to bet at Warrnambool again.
Yeah, no, highly recommend it. It's great. You get to build sort of connections with different racing people. If you lose your money, which is what often happens, you end up head in your hands. But it's a great couple of days. Tyson Hunter's got a couple. And yes, there will be tips for it. Absolutely. Nico is our resident jumps man. Tice, will Group 2 Penny, this is what he calls Pride Jenny, win another race this prep?
Hopefully on Saturday.
I'm going to say no.
I hope Willow, just serves it up to her.
Tice Hunter, how much was Dano paid by Rosemont for his 104 Schwartz rating?
I'll make no comment on that.
No comment. No comment at all.
He copped a bit of
the track managers have more than one job asking for a mate. The track managers have more than one job. Well, a lot of them are doing media and everything these days as well, but no. I don't know. Tracks are not easy to prepare.
As much as they cop it, they're on a hiding to nothing. It is a very hard job. And we've had no rain. It's been very dry. And when they have to irrigate, that's when more inconsistencies are there, I feel.
Yeah. And the valley's just cast. We need
Reno.
So am I.
Deethy, are you excited about the career of Olivia East? Good luck to young Olivia. I see she's starting up with the Price and Kent team as an apprentice jock.
That was a good video that they posted.
Okay. Yeah.
She's a nice
Ben,
chick.
Why don't they ever gold a 2-year-old? Well, most of the time it's because they do, but it's usually sometimes they wait until they're 3 because they're still waiting to see if they're good enough to get those group wins on the board and then retire as a stallion.
There's still horses that are sold that are goings at the sales.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. There is, but I understand the question. Cooper, you've got way too many questions here. But when you said you're going to Hong Kong, were you actually referring to Willow? Any tips for Toowoomba Friday meeting to multi with Nico's jumpers morals? No, you're going to have to ask Tyson for those. If you could send a mare to Southport Tycoon or Schwartz, who would you send it to?
Neither.
Bella Nipotina.
Just keep it.
Bella Nipotina and Schwartz, owned by a similar ownership. That's a That's a good match.
Chris O's got to share in Schwartz with Mitho because they're good mates.
Yeah, he does. So it's been a big few weeks for them. Nico, should they add jumps in the Melbourne Cup? Stern Idol would be a great chance.
They used to actually have a race on Melbourne Cup Day. It was the Cup Day hurdle.
Imagine they had that now.
It would be fantastic. It would be fantastic. You know that?
Yeah,
they only stopped jumps racing at Flemington about 2009.
Yeah, they went woke.
Yeah, even the Valley had a couple.
Yeah.
That would have been
Ben. Who's more progressive? Add Astro or collect your cash? I don't do South Australian form, mate. Tyson Hunter. Bot, just saw your markets gross. If Jenny wins, I'll shout your ticket to Hong Kong. So take that up with him. Definitely take that up with him. If a tissue or Zardozzi wins,
pay if Jenny wins too.
If a tissue or Zardozzi wins, you shout Ben's ticket. So you'll have a strip out and you owe me a ticket to Hong Kong. yes, you do suffer from small cat syndrome. And if Just Folk wins, Nico shouts RD's ticket. So that's
Who wins?
Just Folk. What's he even running in? The Flemington?
The Doncaster Prelude.
Oh, he's running in Sydney. Yeah, well, he's an absolute mudlark, so.
I've got no involvement when it comes to that bloke.
At least that's a positive. All right, just the Twitter questions, and then we'll wrap it up. Ryan Patton, this is a great question. It's one that's been asked many times before. Ben, there always seems to be a bit of friction between Nico and Bot when we get both of them together on the podcast. Any chance of them jumping in the ring to settle their beef? And what odds would you have for each of them?
Why does everyone want me to fight Nico?
Well, because there's always just that little bit of bit of hatred. I don't know where it stems from, but it's entertaining to watch. The pricing would be.
Fuck, here we go.
$1.30, Nico.
That's overs.
And $2.80 Bot.
I'd back myself.
Launch me. It's like a multiple weight for age group one winner racing a debutante 2 year old. You've got absolutely none.
It's like zero. It's like Snorlax against Meowth.
I don't even know who that is.
Oh god.
Nico, what were your thoughts on Stern Idol's return to racing at Sandown on Wednesday?
Fantastic. Him and Affluential was super.
Yeah. No, that was a great return by both of them. Is Nico half-mast at work this week knowing jumps are back on Friday, says Riley Dixon?
Real racing starts tomorrow, brother.
Nico, horse to follow in both divisions of the jumping caper this season. That is hurdles and steeples. Stern's got to be the hurdles.
There's been like three sets of trials and no races yet. Give me a couple of weeks.
Just give him one of each to follow.
Well,
or hurdler and one steeplechaser.
I think Loft will make a serious hurdler, but obviously Stern Idol's going hurdling this year, so whether that dampens things for the rest of the progressive ones or not, I'm not sure. And for a chaser, I would have said Will John, but he's been retired now because he's a tendon.
Yeah.
I don't have a chaser off the top of my head. Maybe leaderboard?
Yep, leaderboard floor.
The Briley is so open.
It's crazy. I was talking to Ben Gleason, who sort of runs the Cranbourne stable for Tiarkow, and they've only got like four jumpers or five jumpers, but they're all flying and they're all decent horses.
It'll be very interesting to see who gets to the Briley. The Galleywood could be the race of forever.
What have they got? They got the Mighty Spa, they've got leaderboard, and they've got Prismatic.
Yeah. I think they've got another one as well.
Yeah. Nick McWalter fan page. Ben, will Ad Astra be a Group 2 winner by the end of her career? He always gets his sick obsession with South Australian horses for whatever reason. And Ben, is just me or is Stern Idol turning into a nonny after his flop yesterday? That is absolute rage bait. Dos Punting Hayden just wants to finish it off by saying, Marzu, how far? Cheers, lads, with the little rocket emoji. I reckon you can win, and I reckon you'll win by a length on the wet track, hopefully. All right, let's wrap it up there, punters. Hopefully that was a return to form on the podcast. I'm going to say it would have sounded much, much better. And if you're still not happy with it, well...
Go and listen to two units. Get your fraud signed.
I need to end this podcast immediately.
Punters,
good luck this weekend. If you're at Flemington, don't worry about Flemington shouting you a drink if Pryor Jenny wins. Go up and see Bot and he'll shout you too. Cheers.